إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hashr, He said, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَحَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا, which means He said, whatever my Nabi gives you, take it, and whatever He stops you from, stop. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to remind myself and you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His ahkam, He sent His orders, He told us what He wished us to do in His kitab, Al-Quran Al-Kareem. And then He sent His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to show us how to do it. And it's an important thing to reflect on, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not constrained by an editor telling him how many words he must use in order for his book to be published. He was not constrained by a publisher to say he will publish a book of so many pages and not so many pages. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have given every single detailed instruction in His kitab itself. But He did not do that. Instead, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to show us the details. There are two ways of showing somebody the way to a place. If you are in a completely unknown place, there are two ways of showing you the way. One is to give you a map. And this map can be a fairly detailed map, and somebody who can read the map and follow the map can usually follow the map and reach the destination. But even if he reaches the destination until the last minute, he is unsure, his heart is full of fear, he does not know, am I reading the map correctly, not correctly, so on and so forth, even though he might reach the destination correctly in the end. But there is another way of guiding somebody to a destination, and that is a surest way, and that way is to send somebody who knows the road, and then to say to you, just follow this, just follow that man. Now the benefit there is that when you follow that man, first of all, you can't go wrong because he knows the way, and secondly, all along your heart is at rest because you are following the man. It is not left to your interpretation. You don't have to worry, am I reading the sign right or not, what's going to happen, am I going to the right destination. You just follow the man. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did with His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The greatest dalil of this, of the position of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the one who is to be followed, is the fact that in the very arkan of Islam, in the very pillars of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell us the details. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the people, and He instructed the people to accept Allah, and He instructed people to enter Islam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say specifically how this is to be done. Allah did not say, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Say, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهُ. Allah did not say this in the Kalam. The very door to Islam was left to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to show a person how to enter Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the instruction, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, establish the salah. But what is the salah? How is it to be established? What comes before the salah, which is to purify yourself for the salah, which is the wudu and ghusl? How is the salah to be started? How long is the salah? What is to be done in the salah? The recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha, which is one of the arkan of salah, without which salah is not valid. Ruku 1, sujood 2. Ruku comes before the sajda. The salah begins in qiyam, even though the slave is closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the sajda. How many rakat of salah is to be prayed? For fajr, for dhuhr, for asr, for maghrib, for isha. All of these and more. None of these details are in the Quran. So if you take the Quran and you say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Aqimu salah, now what do? I have no clue. And as I said, this is not accidental. This is deliberate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deliberately did this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then taught his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how this salah is to be performed. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. He said, pray as you see me pray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Kutiba alaykum usiyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. Fasting has been prescribed on you like it was prescribed on the people before you so that you may become muttaqeen. But how is this fasting to be done? How do you enter the fast? How do you break the fast? What are the things that break the fast? What if I accidentally eat food? Is my fast still there? Not there? Valid? Not valid? And so on and so on. All of these instructions were left to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed zakat. How much zakat is to be paid? What are the things on which zakat is liable? What kinds of goods and services, what kinds of material? For on wealth which is held, for what period is zakat liable? All these instructions left to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to explain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed Hajj. And he said, make Hajj as long as you have the ability, man istata'a ilayhi sabila, as long as you have the ability to make Hajj. But what is Hajj? When is Hajj to be done? I might say, well, the best time of the year is Ramadan, alhamdulillah. And in Ramadan, the last 10 days of Ramadan have all these fadail. Then why don't I make Hajj in the last 10 days of Ramadan? Who said and where is it said that Hajj is to be made in Dhul Hijjah? And then Allah said, make Hajj to my house. But actual place of Hajj is Arafah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one who does not stand in Arafah, his Hajj has not happened. He has not done Hajj. All of these instructions, and I'm giving you only the example of the Arkan of Islam, just to underline the point, but this extends to so many things in life. All of these come from the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The kalima is the sunnah. The salah is the sunnah. The fasting is the sunnah. The zakat is the sunnah. The hajj is the sunnah. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said the ayat which I began with in Surah Al-Hashr, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَقُضُهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Whatever my Nabi gives you, take it, and what he tells you to stay away from, leave it. Now, very important therefore to understand that this ayah is not restricted to the ibadat which I mentioned. In Islam, the custom is always that examples are given with respect to the ibadat because those are the most important things. So if a rule applies in the ibadah, then it automatically applies in every other aspect of our lives. So when we are saying, take whatever the Nabi gives you, is not only for the ibadah, whatever the Nabi gives you in everything. So what did the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about sin? What did he say about treatment of people? What did he say in terms of akhlaq? What did he say in muamilat? What did he say in muashara? All of this is to be taken from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which underlines the importance of the sunnah over and over and over. I therefore remind you and myself the importance of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to understand which only one thing is necessary and essential to remember, and that is that the way to convert every action of ours into an act of worship is to do it according to the sunnah. Then it becomes an act of worship. We eat our food, we need to eat our food, but if we eat it like the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate, it becomes an act of worship. And this of course applies to everything in life. I don't think any more examples are required, but just to remember and remind ourselves to say that let us do and try to consciously make an effort to see and look for the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every action of our lives, and to do those actions according to the sunnah, so that every action of ours becomes an action of worship, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this easy for us and to take it from us and be pleased with it. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward you and me in terms of his and reward us in keeping with his majesty and grace. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.